This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday night at 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or by going to our website, thepeoplespeakradio.net. There you can also listen live to our past shows on our iPod Ready Archive section. That's thepeoplespeakradio.net. If you have a Nokia phone, you can also listen live via satellite. Just go to the website for details. We're really thrilled to have our guest back with us tonight. Cindy Sheehan is an internationally known anti-war activist whose son Casey died in Iraq. Ms. Sheehan gained national attention in early August of 2005 when she traveled to President George W. Bush's Crawford, Texas ranch during his five-week vacation retreat there and demanding a meeting with the president and an explanation for the noble cause, and we quote that, for which her son died. She created a peace camp called Camp Casey by pitching a tent by the side of the road and announced her intention to stay day and night for the full 5 weeks or until such a meeting was granted. Cindy, it's really a pleasure to have you back with us tonight. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. You know, you've really made quite a stir throughout the country. You know that, don't you?
I'm trying my best.
Cindy has written a number of books. She's written Peace Mom, Dear President Bush, and Not One More Mother's Child, but now Cindy has a new book that she's written. It's an e-book, and it's called Myth America, The 10 Greatest Myths of the Robber Class and the Case for Revolution. Now, those are some pretty strong words, Cindy.
Well, there are some pretty strong things happening to us, and I think that the reason our economy is in decline and things are just getting worse is because of the robber class mentality that they deserve to take our money, the fruit of our labor, and our children to kill in their wars. And what the problem is that we here in the robbed class, I say that there's only one division in this country. In reality, it's robbed class and robber class. So in we in the robbed class allow them to do it, and that's the problem. Until we realize that's the problem and we work together to overcome it, there's not going to be any change in this country. Or there's lots of change, but there's not going to be any positive change.
Now, Cindy, you ran for Congress in 2008, and obviously you didn't win. Some people would say this is just sour grapes.
Sour grapes because I didn't win for Congress? Yeah, no, that's not what, that's not what it is.
You know, I actually, when I
it's
say
because
that,
I really
it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's, you know, I haven't ever gotten anything in my life that I wanted. I've never achieved my dreams, and it hasn't beaten me down. It hasn't made me bitter. If my son dying in the robber class wars didn't make me bitter or beat me down, do you think losing a congressional election is going to? You know, I don't think so. I just think that going through the experience of running for Congress and running a very serious campaign, it gave me a lot of insight into that system, into the electoral system. Losing a son for no reason, for lies and for greed of the robber class, gave me perspective from that system. And just it's just very apparent that it's been you know, a long time, generations in this country, where, you know, back around the turn of the century, they called them robber barons. But it's a class, and it's a class mentality that they deserve everything that's good. And if we in the robbed class get anything, it's a privilege, not a right. So we have to take back that mentality and say, we have the right to health care. We have the right to good and free universal university education. We have the right to a roof over our head. These are basic human rights. They're not rights just for the wealthy people in our country.
When you, maybe you can explain to our listeners who have not had the opportunity to read the book exactly who the robbers, the robber class, and the robbed class are.
Right. So people can order my book at CindySheehanSaltbox.com, and it's a $10 or more donation, and I email the PDF to people's email boxes. And, you know, it's the quickest way I know of getting the word out to people. So the robber class is a class in this country that's comprised of the military-industrial complex, the bankers, you know, Wall Street, people who have, you know, been wealthy, and the so-called ruling class in this country. And some people would call it the bourgeoisie. Some people would call it the, you know, plutocracy, oligarchy, kleptocracy. But I just boil it down to real simple language that I could understand and that I think other people could understand, too. The robber class, like I said, steals our money, steals our labor, and steals our children. And they prosper while we, you know, what's that saying, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Well, that's what's been happening in our country now for decades. And the robbed class is we in the working class that are the targets of the robber class that have our children taken from us to die in their robber class wars. My son didn't have any quarrel with the people of Iraq. Why should he go and fight in the robber class wars and die or kill innocent people in the robber class wars? And that's one of the myths I expose, is that it's noble to die in robber class wars. It's not noble. It's not noble to, you know, misspend your life in the military and going and invading and occupying foreign countries to control their resources. It's not noble to kill other people. And, you know, it's not noble to die for their profit. So anyway, it's just basically one distinction, one dividing line, the line between the robber class and the line between the robbed class.
You know, in your book, Cindy, you made the statement, they can only rob us if we allow them to. In a recent interview that I did with Senator Glenn Anderson of Michigan, I asked him about how the auto companies could not have known about the finite oil resources. And he said this, and I'm paraphrasing this. He said, the auto industries were responding to the wants of our society. In this case, in many cases, I absolutely agree with you. Aren't we a society that wants to be robbed?
You know, I don't think we're a society that wants to be robbed. I think we're a society that wants to be in the robber class. And so we think that if we, you know, work hard and are innovative and can move ourselves up into the robber class, that then things are going to be okay. And that's why I wrote this book, because many of us don't know we're being robbed. And we have to wake up to that fact, especially if there's bailouts for Wall Street, for the bankers, for the auto companies. Why are people still losing their homes? They tell us that we can't have health care, we can't have good and free education, we can't have a roof over our heads because there's no money for it. But when members of the robber class need money, there's plenty of money available for it. And we don't we don't like to think that we're in the robbed class, but just, you know, just think about it. And the whole idea of credit is just a robbed class institution or system to keep us debt slaves forever. We have only, some of us in the working class, people would call it the working class, or the poor class, or the poor working class. We've only had the appearance of prosperity for the last several decades because of credit. We've been able to buy very expensive homes on credit. We've been able to buy material or consumer goods on credit. And that's what they want to keep us in, this virtual debt slavery. And if you look at the robber class rhetoric, they say that we need to get credit flowing again. We need to have cheap money and make credit more available so we'll to buy consumer goods that are made in the United States. No. Most of the stuff that I'm looking at right now and the place I'm staying at in Albuquerque, it was not made here in America. So the credit system, Barack Obama says it's the lifeblood of our economy. I think it's the cancer of our economy. And you can only go so far before the piper has to be paid. And that's happening nationally, and that's happening in many of our homes and our communities right now, and our states right now.
You're not a fan of President Obama, are you?
I'm not a fan of his policies. I could care less about the man. I am not a fan of his policies. They remind me of George Bush's policies, and I wasn't a fan of George Bush's policies, so why should I be a fan of President Obama's policies?
Well, I think that a lot of people see a different demeanor in President Obama. They see this promise of change, and they see. But one of the things that I have serious concern about is that for the 8 years during the time that President Bush was in office, Americans reeled tremendously about the things like the loss of habeas corpus, warrantless searches, FEMA. Manifest destiny. All of these things, that the Patriots Act that was shoved down our throat just like everything else, all of these things were the prime reason, and we always thought that Iraq would be the reason that we would be voting in a new administration. And as it turned out, none of these things have been addressed by the Obama administration. Do you agree?
They've been addressed, but they haven't been addressed to our favor. Obama administration has, like I said, continued the policies of the Bush administration in almost every case, and that's why I'm not a fan of him or his policies. Now, there's not going to be change. I'm not sitting around hoping for change. I'm out in the country trying to be a catalyst with my book, with communities I'm visiting for this change. Everybody knows our system is broken, and some people still think that Obama is in some way going to fix it for us. Well, that's not going to happen. We've seen he's been president for, you know, his 100 days or something like that. Like you said, he hasn't addressed the need to repeal the Patriot. When he was a senator, he voted to reauthorize the Patriot Act.
Yes,
he hasn't addressed the war crimes of torture. They released some memos, but everybody in his administration is saying there's not going to be any accountability for the torturers or the people who ordered the torture. He's having a very slow withdrawal of troops from Iraq, and it's not a complete withdrawal. And not only that, he's sending more troops to Afghanistan. So this isn't change.
It's
more of the same. In some cases, even worse. And he surrounded himself with neocons and neoliberals.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you that it may probably be worse. My feelings have always been that the second phases of these multi-wars that are being perpetrated was going to fall on the shoulders of the Democratic Party to lead us into it. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
I don't think you're wrong, and I think that they play these the robber class, their political system, which they protect each other, and they protect each other's power. You know, the people who worked hardest to keep Ralph Nader off the ballot in many states were the Democrats, or to keep him out of, he and Cynthia McKinney, and the Democratic Party worked against Cynthia McKinney to defeat her as a congresswoman and worked against her candidacy. But they play these games in their class to make us think, and that's one of the myths I expose, that there's a substantial difference between Democrats and Republicans. And there is not. When Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House, she said before the election that there'd be no blank checks for war, but she gave George Bush every blank check for war that he asked for. Of course, she famously said, impeachment's off the table. She kept that promise, but she didn't keep the promise for no blank checks for war. And so they protect each other. Nancy Pelosi protected the Bush regime, and Barack Obama and his administration are protecting the Bush regime. They shouldn't be protected. Their crime should be exposed and punished. And Barack Obama and his administration, they would like to say, well, we have to move forward. We have to look ahead. Well, we can't move forward to a healthy democracy or republic when our elected officials keep committing these crimes without any kind of justice to be seen for not just my family, but the family of all the other soldiers who are dead for no reason, the families of the people of Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Gaza and so many other countries around the world that were the people who were damaged during the Bush administration. And not only did they do these things, you know, get us into phony wars for no reason, for lies, for profit, they contravened and broke our Constitution many, many times. And we can't say that there's one rule of law for the robbed class and another rule of law for the robber class. Everybody in a society should have to be held to the same standards or the same rule of law, and nobody should be able to be above it.
Cindy, what's the difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party today as you see it?
What's the difference between them? I know that's
kind of a ludicrous question to ask, but I'm curious what your thoughts on it are.
I think they're two, like Gore Vidal says, I think they're two different wings of the same chicken. You know, the left wing, the right wing, and like I said, they play these games to make us think that we have some kind, that we the people, we the robbed, have some kind of representation in Congress. And you know, and I know better than anybody, that during the Bush regime, the left stood up and shouted loudly against his policies and demonstrated against his policies. And now that Obama is in power, they're not protesting Obama. And they're not getting out in the streets and saying, we didn't like this stuff under the Bush regime. We certainly don't like this stuff under your regime either. We expected you to be different, and you're not. So I think there's a lot of, they play those games in the robber class. So for 8 years, half the country hated George Bush and hated his wars, and now almost the entire country is supportive of the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan because the right always supported it. I don't understand why the right is so against Barack Obama, because he's not doing much, like we said, much differently than Bush did, but I don't understand why the left supports Barack Obama for the same reason. That he's not doing much differently than Bush did.
Well, you know, I agree with you that it's interesting. It almost comes to the point where, is it that we just want to play this game forever? Is this just a game to people? We won, the Democrats won, and the Republicans lost, and it doesn't matter what it is that we've won, just the point that we've won.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I think that it's a game to the robber class, but people in the robber class take it very seriously. And, you know, they have ideological differences. In the robbed class, there are ideological differences between Republicans and Democrats, between the right and the left. In the robber class, there are not. But what we have to realize is that it is just a game to the robber class, and they're not going to change elections to make them equitable for everybody. I mean, I got a slice of that when I ran against Nancy Pelosi. The robber class are in power. They own elections, and they're not going to change them so we can get in on the inside. So we do have to realize, though, that here in the robbed class, we have more in common than we have that separate us. The economy is affecting us all in the same way. And we have to celebrate those commonalities and work together to thrive through. We haven't even hit bottom yet with the economy. And if we don't work together, we're not going to survive, let alone thrive.
I agree. You know, there's so many questions, but we do have a couple of guest questions that I'd like to put in to the queue here. John in the Canadian Rockies says, hugs to you, Cindy. Whereas Bush was too cowardly to meet with you despite repeated requests, have the tables changed enough that Obama has requested a meeting with you? If not, I expect you will. Will you tell Obama, make him come to you? He has that in parentheses. Make him come to you.
I have not been contacted by the Obama administration to have a meeting with him. So, that's not something that
it's not likely that's going to happen.
Not likely it's going to happen either. I mean, somebody has to be the gadfly. Somebody has to be calling out the hypocrisy. Somebody has to be pointing out the lies, and it has to be somebody who is not affiliated with either party. Because I only go after a person's policies and their lies and what they say and what they don't say. So I don't look at party affiliation or anything like that. I just look at the person, what they're doing and what they're saying. And there has to be somebody on the outside saying that. And, you know, I'm going to say that most of what Barack Obama says makes him a fraud, and I don't think anybody is going to invite me to meet with him. But you know, I would be open to that meeting. I have met with Barack Obama before when he was still a senator, and we had a very nice meeting. But that was right after Camp Casey, when the Democrats still liked me and I still liked them. But then the Democrats use the energy of the anti-war movement to regain majority in both houses, and then I believe they betrayed the anti-war movement. And
I agree.
And so we really have to hold all of our politicians accountable. And you know, even if you love Obama and you think that you're hoping in this change that he promised, you have to still realize, first of all, that he is just a politician, but that it is our responsibility. We can't abdicate our responsibility as citizens of this country to hold our politicians accountable. And that's what happens every 4 to 8 years. Half of the country abdicates their responsibility to hold our politicians accountable. What would it be like if we actually looked at the policies and not the person, and got bedazzled by like personality and style, and didn't really delve too deeply into the substance. It would be a much different country. You know, we would be like other countries that, you know, actually do hold their politicians accountable. And it would be totally different because, you know what, our politicians would have to be responsive to us and not to the people who line their pockets.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find is that our media is almost being forced to alternative news modalities, such as the one we're working with now on the People Speak. Many of our guests have often told us to continue this kind of work, that alternative news media is the only way that the word is going to get out. So that we don't fall victim to the neurotic rantings and fear mongerings of the O'Reillys and the Hannah Titties and the Limp Balls and the Glenn Send Me a Check. I think they are really getting to the point where they are just so aggravating. It's almost, you know, and the interesting thing is not even the Republicans can actually say, as I witnessed today on one of the MSNBC talk shows, that Bush was a good leader, but they are saying that Obama is a bad leader. And we're saying here, there's no change, so what are you guys complaining about? I don't think they even know half the time what they're complaining about, Cindy.
Well, it's hypocrisy, for sure. And I get people emailing me, still people from the right emailing me and saying, you know, Cindy, you're such a hypocrite because you protested George Bush, you protested his wars, but you're not protesting Obama. Well, first of all, they're ignorant because I am, you know, on my radio show, Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, on this tour, and I have, you know, done several actions since Barack Obama's become president because I'm protesting the policies. And I said, so he's continuing the war in Iraq. He's even withdrawing troops slower than he promised during his campaign. He's increasing troops to Afghanistan. He's supporting Israel in their occupation of Palestine. And, you know, he's still bombing Pakistan and, you know, being belligerent to other countries. So you should love him. You're the one that's the hypocrite.
Absolutely. You know, I'd like to try to get one more question in from one of our guests. From one of our listeners before we break for the half hour. Samantha from Texas asks, how does she feel about the Veterans Hospital that has passed on AIDS and hepatitis B and hep C to our dear soldier without giving proper care to the soldiers also for post-traumatic stress syndrome?
Well,
and then
of course,
there is an addition to that, but I'll let you answer that part first.
Well, you know, of course I think that it's obscene that not only are we sending our children to these illegal moral wars, you know, to fight and die for the robber class, but when they come back, we're not taking care of them. And that just illustrates the robber class hypocrisy, is that even Barack Obama is saying that, you know, it's just to go and fight Al-Qaeda, you know, whatever. He's using that terminology to fight the war. He doesn't call it the war on terror anymore, but it's the same thing as George Bush did. But then when our kids come home, they are getting treated. They're not getting diagnosed properly. There's not enough resources to treat them for their diseases and their emotional problems, their physical problems, you know, their mental problems. And it's just, you know, another robber class hypocrisy. And here we are still sending our children to be harmed this way by the robber class, and the robber class doesn't care. If the wars were so just and they were so righteous, then, you know, Congress would be sending. I know Barack Obama can't send his girls; they're too young. But Congress and the Senate, they would be sending their children, and very few of them do. Or how about the children of the war machine, the captains of the military-industrial complex?
Well, you know, there's one more part to that, and she says, Samantha from Texas says, how do you hold people accountable for the deaths that have occurred from suicides after coming back from war? I think accountability is her question on that.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I work for, but it's going to be a concerted, organized effort by we the people, we the robbed class, to hold them accountable. How do we hold them accountable? We remove ourselves from their systems, and that's what my book is saying. If we remove ourselves from robber class systems, if we don't send our children or allow them to join the military or go and fight in these wars, then the problem is solved. They don't have PTSD. They don't get killed. They don't kill other people. They don't come home and commit suicide, because the robber class isn't going to change its systems. Its systems is what supports the robber class and what keeps the robber class, you know, fat and happy, and it's always at the expense of us.
Well, we're going to take a break for just a couple of minutes, folks, so that we can get our sponsors and all that good stuff, our public service announcement out. We have Cindy Sheehan with us today, and she'll be back with us shortly to continue the interview.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us. But for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
In our Constitution, the Founding Fathers laid a path to an economy that should have kept Americans free and prosperous. How we the people were tricked off that path into a world of debt and deception reads like one of the great mystery novels of all time. American Free Press compares author Ellen Brown's new book, Web of Debt, to an eye-opening thriller that will leave you feeling like Neo in the Matrix. In Web of Debt, the mysterious and often shocking origins of today's ultimate financial crisis are exposed, starting with its distant beginnings to its present disastrous climax, as the reader is shown that the way to restore America's true wealth has been with us all along. Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, to see how America's money and future can become by and for the people once again.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the seawall, by the relief of the fast, I saw my people.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak Radio Show. We have our guest tonight, Cindy Sheehan, the internationally known anti-war activist, with her discussing her new book, Myth America, the 10 Greatest Myths of the Robber Class and a Case for Revolution. That's a pretty big word. The case for revolution. Talk to me about revolution, Cindy.
Well, I think, in my opinion, it's going to take nothing less than a revolution to change to divorce ourselves from the robber class system is a revolution. And I'm not talking about an armed revolution. I'm talking about what Dr. King said as a revolution of values. You know, Dr. King, a year before he was assassinated, said that the triple threat or the three greatest things in our country that are threatening us, we the people, are militarism, racism, and poverty. And nothing has changed. In fact, things have gotten worse 40 years later. So we have to have a revolution of values in our class to reach across these phony divisions that the rival class wants to, impose on us, and to work together to create our own systems. The entire U.S. government, the banking system, the military is fully owned by the robber class. The thing is that we pay the price for these systems. Like I've said several times, we pay the price with our lives, with our money, and with our work. And they've been stealing our labor and our children for literally generations. And we have to realize that we are all in it all together. And we have to create community to step outside of their system as much as we can. Not very many people can do it 100%. I'll never be able to step outside the robber class system 100%. But the closest we can get to that, the better off we'll be. And pretty soon, resources will start being pulled the other way, from the robber class to the robbed class, instead of from the robbed class to the robber class. So this is a revolution. It's a grassroots, full court press against the people who have been oppressing us for generations.
I see. We have a caller on the phone, Mike from California. Mike, you have a question.
Hello, Cindy.
Good
to hear you. My question
Mike.
For you is, hi. You know, I'm one of the lucky ones that I had a chance to look at Miss America. And I was wondering, do you think that there's a chance that we can change the basis of our economy, the military-industrial complex, through a grassroots revolution? How can we...
Hello? Well, we can change our economy. We can change the robber class economy. Our economy is based on military-industrial complex, and the reason that it's able to thrive is because of our participation in it. We participate in it through our taxes, through sending our children or our husbands, wives, whatever, to participate in the robber class wars. And that's the easiest way to stop the military-industrial complex, is to stop sending our children to be cannon fodder for the military-industrial complex. But another way we can create our own economic systems is by, like I said, being in community. We can trade with each other. We can barter with each other. We can trade goods and services. We can take our money out of banks and put them into credit unions, and keep our money as close as possible to where we live in our communities. And that helps small business owners, it helps families, and we're not sending, you know, money off, you know, to who knows where it goes. And so we really in the peace community have to put counter-recruitment or anti-recruitment as our number one priority. And also we have to start as a community, we have to start providing alternatives or options for our children. We can't just say don't join the military But they'll say, I need an education. We have to be able to provide scholarships or job training or internships or whatever so we can prevent our children from being misused this way. And in my book, there's the 10 myths that I expose. But in the final chapter, which is Conclusion Revolution, I give many doable things that we can do. And, you know, I can guarantee you that if something is relevant to you, 100% of people can do these things. They're very easy, but it would take a lot of us doing them to create the revolution that we need.
Cindy, one of the icons of the, and I quote Robert Klass in most recent days, was Bernie Madoff. Now, in your book, you said that he was tried so fast that it made your head spin. Why do you think it
right.
went so quickly?
Well, you know, there, like I said earlier, there's two different sets of laws, one for the Robert Klass and one for the Roth Klass. The Robert Klass rarely has to pay for any crimes, but Madoff's justice came quickly because he robbed members of his own class.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and so that can't. If he robbed members of our class, there would be no problem.
Well. That's very interesting. We've gotten a lot more questions from listeners. Ellen from Georgia asks, does Cindy feel Barack Obama is worse than Bush because he's being promoted as a peace president? Cindy did touch on that a little bit, Ellen, but go ahead, Cindy.
Well, you know, I think that I don't want to put him in a worse category or a better category. I think that U.S. presidents, you know, are just the leaders of institutions that have generational momentum. And I think much of his rhetoric is just as hypocritical as Bush's when George Bush said that he was a uniter and not a divider. And many people, you know, they don't have a problem supporting me and supporting Barack Obama, even though our philosophy and our ideology of war and peace is completely opposite. So Obama's closer to Bush on that than he is to me.
Very true. Kevin in Idaho asked, do you feel that Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky can hold the CIA accountable for torture even if Obama has excused them?
I'm like you. I hope it does. I would love to see that happen. But there's really only one branch in our government, and the executive branch is the most powerful branch, and Congress has tried to subpoena Karl Rove, and Karl Rove has just ignored their subpoenas. So it would have to take every branch working together, even the Supreme Court, to hold these people accountable. And I think that they would have to take the lead from the executive branch. And I really find it hard to believe that Congresswoman Schakowsky would go too far afield from her party and the president. So it might just be another. It's another bone to throw us, another bone to throw the Democrats. So, you know, they think, well, they're really trying, but the Republicans are being obstructionist. And when the Republicans are in control, they'll say, Republicans will say, well, they're really trying, but the Democrats are being obstructionist. The entire system is obstructionist. And
like
I said before, the Robert Klass will always protect the Robert Klass. Jan Schakowsky, in my opinion, has been, you know, good on a lot of things, and I maybe her effort is sincere, but maybe it's just to throw a bone to their base also.
Well, I guess only time will tell how committed she is to that position. Carol in Omaha asks, what do you think of Obama's national service plan?
Well, you know, I can speak on one part of it, and that would be that if our children in the robbed class want to have that tuition credit to go to school, which the tuition credit is a joke because it doesn't even cover half of a state education in California. But if they want to have that tuition credit, they have to do 2 years or do community, I don't know what the, you know, what the length is, but they have to do community service. Well, children in the robber class don't have to do that. They can have education and they can have very good education, but I'm for service. My whole life is service and I teach my kids to be of service to humanity also. But to force our children to do this service when the children of the robber class don't have to, I think that's wrong. Now, if they had like 1 year mandatory service for everybody, no exceptions or exemptions between high school and college, say, then, you know, I would be more for it if it was equitable and if it was for both classes, not just for our class. But education is a right. People shouldn't have to go into debt to get a college education. They shouldn't have to join the Army and perhaps die like my son did for an education. It should be a right for everybody, not a privilege for few.
Well, I absolutely believe that, and I've always said we're not a nation that wants an educated youth, because if we did, we wouldn't break their financial backs before they get out of university. Lawrence in Ohio wants you to speak about Israel and Palestine and how this affects the USA.
Well, you know, in my opinion, you know, I believe Osama bin Laden said this, one of the reasons we were attacked on September 11th is because of our overwhelming support of Israel over Palestine. And I believe that our, you know, I just did an event here in Albuquerque where the peace community here put up billboards saying, stop U.S. aid to Israel. I want foreign military aid stopped to every country, but Israel would be the number one thing because I believe Israel and their oppression and, you know, some people call it genocide of the Palestinian people is what makes the world a very precarious place. So we have to withdraw our military aid to Israel. I talked to a Palestinian woman there, she's American Palestinian, who told me there's not going to be a fair settlement in Palestine when Israel has all of these weapons of mass destruction that have been paid for by the U.S. And so I think that's the first step is reducing or eliminating the military aid to Israel, and then working to help Israelis and Palestinians coexist in peace.
Well, as a Palestinian American, Cindy, I agree that I don't think a fair settlement. As a matter of fact, after Bibi Netanyahu's last statement, that he would not even consider sitting down with the Palestinians until they accepted the right of Israel as a Jewish state. Now, at that point, you changed the entire table all over again.
Right. Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And we're not, and we know for a fact that he's not interested in engaging in any peace talks. And the peace process is no more than more killing of more Palestinians and getting away
with it. Well, Netanyahu, you know, Netanyahu is part of the Israeli robber class. And the Israeli robber class and the U.S. robber class, as we know, work together to the detriment of their citizens and really to world peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, Cindy, although many of the things I absolutely agree with, you speak of what you speak of frightens many people in your book. They see it as...
Well, you know, it's frightening.
It is
frightening. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
They want to see it as some kind of subversive conspiracy theory, even if it's real. Why is it, do you think, that people are so afraid of aligning themselves with the truth?
because lots of times the truth is scary. And sometimes I feel like I'm, you know, going around the country telling people there's no Santa Claus. But it's what I say, there's nothing in my book that is not 100% verifiable truth. And that the robber class of the United States has been working to undermine us and to impoverish us is just a fact. And I have, if I didn't have so much hope in the American people and in the resources we have, that I wouldn't even have bothered writing the book. I would just, you know, try to do what I had to do to withdraw myself and my family to protect my own family from robber class oppression. But I believe so strongly in my fellow Americans and human beings that we can work together to help each other through these tough times, to help each other remove ourselves from robber class systems, that's what I'm spending my energy for. And, you know, I didn't like the truth either. The truth cost me my oldest son, you know, one of the loves of my life. But it's a reality, and until we wake up to that fact, there's not going to be any kind of relevant or healthy change in the robbed class.
You also speak of war profiteering for the robber class. In my opinion, it is for the robber class and not for the robbed class, because many people think that somehow profit comes to the nation that wars. And that's such a joke. The profit comes to the Halliburtons, the Honeywells, to the companies that have, but it certainly doesn't come to the nation. We're the nation, and I haven't seen any profit. All I've seen is misery and suffering from this war.
Well, you know, and that's one of the myths that I expose, is it's noble to die in robber class wars. And before my son was killed, I used to think that profit was just a consequence of war. But after Casey was killed and after all my study, I've, you know, come belatedly, many people have known this for a lot longer than I have, that profit is the cause for war. And all you have to do is read Smedley Butler's War is a Racket to know that this stuff was going on during World War One, and it's been going on ever since there was war, that people have profited off of it. And like Smedley says, the profits reckon in dollars, and the cost is lost lives. And like you said, we're not profiting from it. As a matter of fact, our expenditure on war, the Pentagon, the military-industrial complex, is what is breaking our country. It's what is causing this economic collapse. We in America do not, or in very few cases, do we manufacture anything that's positive anymore. What we do is manufacture that, and we export destruction. And all of our good manufacturing jobs that were union, that had good benefits, they've been lost overseas to so-called free trade agreements. And so we need to not only bring our troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan, but close, you know, the hundreds of bases we have around the world to stop the military aid to countries like Israel and Egypt, and to stop this insane nuclear arms proliferation, and to really, you know, build a healthy economy. But the robber class isn't going to do that, because, like I said, the captains of the military-industrial complex are the ones that are profiting. They're the ones that control Congress. We don't control Congress. We don't control anything that the president does. It's the lobbyists. It's like AIPAC. It's the military-industrial complex. It's Wall Street. Barack Obama's largest donor was Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs has received billions of dollars from these things that they allowed.
Well, you know, if you want to hear more about this, I highly recommend Myth America, 10 Greatest Myths of the Robber Class and the Case for Revolution. That's Cindy's new ebook. You can get it online. It'll come directly to your email. And, Cindy, we really appreciate your time with us tonight. As usual, we
run out of time. Oh, thank you.
We have a million more questions, but good luck to you.
Can people can email me at cindy@cindysheehansoapbox.com if they had a question that they wanted to ask. I answer all my email.
Okay, there you go, folks.
Okay,
We'll be posting that on your site. Thank you. And next week, Rabbi Lynn Gottlieb of Shomer Shalom will guest on the People Speak radio show. Folks, that's it for tonight. Let the people speak.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea, by the relief of the fast, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water.